Friday on the Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590 Fan Justin and Ailish. There's already a buzz in the newsroom. Walk past a couple Leafs jerseys on the way in. 680 News is fired up this morning. They got people down at the stadium at the rink already.
If we're doing like Spirit or Flair rankings, 680 News has got it. They're at the top.
They're always dialed.
With big Raptors game, Raptors jerseys. Mm-hmm. Blue Jays home opener, Looney Dog night, Blue Jays jerseys.
They might be more in touch with sports than we are.
At least with Spirit. I like how you just got that thing on you. You got the Leaf jersey on you at all times.
Well, I wanted to bring that up. I think it's a very interesting day for Leafs Nation because tonight we could see something we haven't seen in a very, 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 very long time. But I think there's a little bit of an air of some superstition happening in the city. We would love to hear from you at 590-590. What are you doing today to do your part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because whether you believe in the juju, the tarot cards, the vibes, the spirit world, it could just be that you forgot to wear the same hoodie to watch with your friends on the couch tonight and the Maple Leafs lose an OT. Maybe you wore a different jersey. Maybe Bunker isn't wearing his Leafs bandana, which he's won the last three games in a row. If I don't put that on tonight, they might lose. So there's like little things you might be doing. I know. I can't have that on my conscience. And poor Bunker is only 3.5 months old. He can't live the rest of his life knowing that the poor Maple Leafs didn't get the right vibes. So are you doing something tonight that you did last game, the game before? Are you putting your kids in bed and reading them Cat in the Hat because you gave up on the Maple Leafs in the third period last time? Do it again.
Are you leading the group chat? Are you ignoring the group chat? Are you drinking a specific type of beer, watching on a specific area of the couch? Like, what are you doing to make sure that you're not the reason the Maple Leafs failed to close in Game 5 versus the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight?
So that's why I brought. This morning I was packing up my stuff and I grabbed my Leafs jersey. I was like, I'll throw this on. And then I got here and I said, no, I haven't worn a Leafs jersey in the studio at all during this playoff run and I'm not doing it today.
Okay, so it's
if they win tomorrow morning, no problem.
That's a break glass in case of emergency jersey ride-along?
Yeah.
I don't know what you want to call it.
I can't do it tonight before Game 5 because it could throw everything off. So it's here, but it won't be worn. I don't want it to be because Ailish wore a Leafs jersey to host the morning show. So I'm doing my part.
Okay, and 680 News doing their part because they're locked and loaded wearing the blue and white.
Are you doing anything special?
Am I? That's the thing is, like, I do the same thing all the time.
Yeah, you're pretty
and
boring.
The result has been, actually, I guess the result has been negative, right?
Oh.
So, actually.
Uh-oh, Justin.
No. Here's the big issue here. We're both going to the game tonight. You were not there when the Maple Leafs won on home ice. So you are changing things up.
But
I'm 1-1. You're 0-1.
So, but we were both there. Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
We were both there in game one.
We both saw the disaster.
So,
So things are changing. We were immediately invalidated.
I guess I can't go.
Our entire theory here.
Hey,
just don't.
What if we sit in different seats than we did the first time?
We can look at the seating chart here. I think there's actually a possibility they are different seats. Here's the thing. It's not just presence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when I had the kimchi? Kimchi wasn't working for anybody. Won't get the kimchi.
We never brought
this
that up on the radio, but I tweeted it out.
No, we didn't.
Because there's a lot of other things to talk about that morning. But
right. The
one time that Justin and I have ever been in the press box together, ever, Justin shows up with this salad with a heaping wad of kimchi on it. And we are elbow to elbow, basically breathing the same air. And he's consumed at least 7 mouthfuls of this kimchi. And then
I actually never tried the kimchi. It was the other parts of the bowl I was eating.
Well, I touched it and then left the bowl there between the two of us for at least a period. And it
No. I got rid of it right after the anthem.
But I guess we sat there for warm-up, so and nonetheless. It smelled so bad.
Yeah,
people were starting to evacuate the area.
It was a problem.
So don't bring any kimchi near me. I love kimchi. I make my own kimchi with my dad, but I would never bring it to a professional setting.
Listen, you got to handle fermented food properly, and I don't know if it was, frankly, and that's why I didn't try it. But I will not get that. I will not order that. I don't know if you've finished your meal yet. Like, maybe that the vibe was off there. We got to change up the kiosk or whatever we go to get the pregame meal. We'll do that. Maybe that's the difference.
I like that.
Well, you got to promise me one thing, though. It can't be an Anthony Bass situation with the popcorn again.
Okay. Let me just say it. If you haven't seen Anthony Bass on Twitter, this was like a week ago or two. He got absolutely shredded by the entire...
The amount of think
pieces. The entire planet, legitimately.
The extent of the think pieces that came out...
About Anthony Bass.
Discussing Anthony Bass's Twitter etiquette and whether or not he should have complained about United Airlines' treatment of his wife and kids on a flight and the popcorn, whatever. You've probably seen it because it was unavoidable.
Pretty sure like the New York Times wrote an article about Anthony Bass and his wife and the popcorn and the kids.
And who should be picking up popcorn?
Nonetheless, I think that popcorn is a messy food, and I did drop a couple kernels while we were in the press box out of nerves and I don't have the dexterity to hit every single kernel in my mouth, Justin. Okay? I'm not a professional eater like Joey Chestnut.
I mean, if you go one at a time, it's hard to miss.
But sometimes you're just excited. We're in the press box, the Leafs score,
I understand.
Jittery hands.
It's impossible not to eat popcorn.
But there was certainly at least 18 kernels on the ground, and like shrapnel too. They're not full, you know how the little pieces hit the ground. Anyway, So we got up. I'll put myself on blast. We got up to leave, and I, with my foot, kicked some of the kernels over to Justin's side.
It wasn't even just popcorn. It was the most gutless thing ever. You had like a cup. You only had one like piece of garbage. Mm-hmm. You picked up the cup and put it in front of my name
tag. I did do that.
It's like, what?
You think they're doing
inventory?
Messy.
Yeah. You tried to make my area look messy.
I did, and that's okay. I'm fully owning up to that. A week and a half later, you had to bring it up.
Well, it came up naturally. So this
you
time...
You shoehorned that in there is just, and that's fine. I'll take the heat for it.
So if we're making changes due to game one, or you're
how
trying
about
to,
I won't eat popcorn then.
No popcorn.
Okay.
No kimchi.
And if
you make a mess, own it.
No problem. We've got a couple texts in here. Someone says not wearing my Leaf shorts, and they will win again. To see what those Leaf shorts. Interesting, like gym shorts.
So you have shorts, and you just decided.
I guess
not
I
to
didn't wear them before. I haven't worn any of my jerseys since game one. Jeff in Niagara Falls. Okay, Jeff. There you go. Don't even look at them.
Keep it up, Jeff.
Spencer in Oakville says, the last two games I gave up and went to bed in the third. I think I need to watch the rest of the playoffs nestled in bed, Spencer in Oakville. I think that's right.
Got to say, live sporting event, cuddled up in bed, pretty good. It's pretty good.
One person says, no changing seats, Ailish. Okay. We actually are assigned seats, so unfortunately I might have to just go with what the MLSE staffers choose.
You might have to pace in the back.
Yeah, stand the whole time. And then someone says, that's a woman thing. Yeah, popcorn's hard to eat, okay?
That's an everybody thing, I think. I mean, if I was indulging the way you were, and a lot of people were, it would be everywhere as well.
Go look at a movie theater floor, okay? I'm not perfect. I have my flaws, and that is, I'm a messy popcorn eater. All right, 590-590, we want to know how you are preparing for tonight's game, Maple Leafs, Tampa Bay Lightning, Game 5, series clinching opportunity on home ice. You know who didn't do that last night with the Boston Bruins? Did you see Ullmark's blunder in OT, Matthew Tkachuk capitalizing? Can you imagine if that happened here in Toronto? You have the home ice opportunity to clinch a series. You're up 3-1. This sounds... pretty spooky.
I wouldn't even say it, Ailish, to be
honest. No, I'm just saying, like, but Boston has, like, such a, okay, we'll just go win in Florida because they've done it before, right? It doesn't feel the same, like, level of, oh, my God, panic central. But so last night, a lot of improbable things happened, and I wanted to bring that up because improbable things can happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
I'm spinning it in a good way. Like, things can happen. That's a poor example at first, but, like, Florida didn't have any opportunity to be like going over in the
Boston
series.
Boston was
right?
The better team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like they're pushing the series.
Yeah. I mean, Florida got one and Boston gave it to them, but Linus Ullmark
didn't
look very good. And that's a weird mistake. And he looks a little, he looks a little shaky.
He's going to win the Vezina?
He does not look like a Vezina.
Goaltenders.
Vezina caliber guy. I mean, I know he had a brilliant season, but.
Can make some errors.
Yeah.
The Kraken have now pushed the Avalanche to the brink of elimination.
And I'm just kicking myself because I wanted to fade the Avalanche so bad. And
they're
going to beat Seattle.
Narrative up in the Wake and Rake.
And now Seattle's, there's no chance to profit off Colorado's decline. Which they, I mean, they're down Nikushkin, Landeskog, Kadri from last year. Like an entire top six line on a Stanley Cup championship.
Somehow you thought they would still win.
Did you pick Seattle?
No, I mean yesterday in the Waken Rig. So Kraken pushed the Avs to the brink of elimination. Ty Cartier, I had to make sure that's how you say it because it looks like Cartier, listen to the goal call. Mm. Kingston Kidd, dad's wearing a Sioux Greyhounds hat and stance.
Wow.
At Kyle Dubas.
Yeah, we'll see him on a Leaf team next year.
Undrafted, makes his NHL debut last night.
That's a miss for Dubas, though.
Undrafted, NHL debut last night, scores in the game for the Seattle Kraken. They win the game. They've pushed the Avs to the brink of elimination. The Heat, the Miami Heat, eliminated the Milwaukee Bucks last night. The Heat eliminated the Bucks. A lot of crazy things have happened in the last 24 hours in sports. Does that mean that the thing that was maybe the most improbable, defeating a curse, getting over the bump, can happen for the Maple Leafs?
Is it the year of the improbable? Mm. It's kind of hard to put the Leafs in that same category as what, Ty Cartier and Jimmy Butler over the Milwaukee Bucks?
Anything can happen, Justin.
Linus Ullmark giving pucks away. But if, you know, if things are supposed to be different this time around, it has been different.
A couple different things.
A couple nights have been different here.
Nonetheless, tonight, we're going to find out if this team has what it takes to, as you said, defeat the final boss. This will be the hardest one to win. They talked about it. We got a lot of opportunity
The final boss in the first round.
Yeah. Because then at that point, anything can happen.
We'll start a new game at that
point. Yeah, then we'll talk about the next rounds of bosses. But this will be the hardest one to win. You know, can you close out on home ice? The pressure is on the Maple Leafs. Tampa Bay, do you think the Leafs have more pressure than Tampa Bay?
Yeah, of course.
1,000%.
Of course.
Which seems weird because they have three opportunities to win one game. And Tampa Bay is the one that needs to win a game tonight. But it still feels like the pressure is on Toronto. And it could be a little heavy. So are you able to perform in that situation the way that you need to win tonight? It's a real test of character.
Tampa has more backs against the wall victories than the Leafs have victories when the opportunity is there to see something. So in terms of pressure, also, if you've won, the pressure diminishes. Mm-hmm. The pressure diminishes. It's not as scary and it's not as consequential.
All right, we'll get into some more look ahead for the Maple Leafs game five. We got the Bunting status out. We got keys to tonight, but we definitely got to touch on the Toronto Blue Jays before we get into all that because they sweep the White Sox, their first series sweep of the year. Mm. They crushed those guys over the last 3 games.
Love to see the White Sox. What? Can we do that once a month?
They're
Can we
brutal.
Set our watch to that?
Another smashing
it's a get
victory.
Right series.
8-0 victory last night. Toronto's on a 4-game winning streak now, 5 of their last 6 games. The starting rotation has been the story, and we haven't given the Blue Jays the most airtime as of late because the Maple Leafs have been deservedly there in the playoff push. But if we take a moment here to look at the last series, Blue Jays have an off day today. It's kind of a good reset. The Seattle Mariners are in town starting tomorrow. Teoscar Hernandez is in town, and Robbie Ray out for the season. Pants were too tight, and unfortunately, he went to his arm, undergoing surgery for
shut off the blood
flexor tendon. Mm. So he's out. We won't see him return.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to do the revisionist history thing, like choosing Kevin Gausman over Robbie Ray, who cost $5 million more than Kevin Gausman when the free agent decision happened, yeah, that one worked really well.
Yeah,
from the Blue Jays front office. Again, I don't even know if there was really the option, like if Robbie Ray just wanted something different. But if you look at that transaction, a solid one, and that's well before the season-ending injury for the Seattle Mariners. And that kind of like lends itself to a conversation you wanted to have about the top rotations in baseball. Because Seattle was one of those teams that was pretty good, 1 through 5. A team that was going to be, you know, playoff bound, we expected. They geared up for this year. They made the playoffs last year, of course, beating the Blue Jays in the wild card round. They were ready to go, and they had all the arms that you would need to be competitive in a playoff series. But, of course, if Robbie Ray's out, it hurts them seriously. And I guess that might be one more team that can't really compare, at least in your eyes. I don't want to put words in your mouth. With the Toronto Blue Jays starting rotation.
Yeah, I think it's a good moment to kind of look at this beginning of the season and evaluate the starting rotation, because on paper, we had big expectations for this team, but we had multiple question marks. We didn't know which version of Kikuchi, even though he was Grapefruit League MVP, we were going to get in the regular season. Jose Berríos obviously had his worst season in the major leagues last year. What was his bounce back opportunity? And we had Chris Bassitt, who was a new face and has about 48 different pitches. So how is that going to work in the Toronto Blue Jays starter rotation? And then you have Gausman, who's someone that I think we've all put in the Cy Young conversation, at least should be.
And one of the best pitchers in the American League.
And then Alek Manoah, who had a breakthrough year last year and is still a young guy. So if you looked at that on paper this year, I think we had understandably a couple question marks, but high expectations for this Blue Jays starting rotation. So when I thought about it.
And high expectations because high priced, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's these
expensive.
Other than Alek Manoah, who's earning less than $1 million, you know, underpaid for sure for being an ace in Major League Baseball, at least for a team in Major League Baseball, even if he might be the second best pitcher on this team. A lot of money sunk into this starting rotation. So, therefore, the expectations should be that the Blue Jays send out one of the best rotations in starting baseball out there.
So, I think they have a really, really great sample size in April to do this evaluation. The things will change. So, why don't we live in the moment and look at how the starting pitching rotation has looked for the Toronto Blue Jays this start of this year?
Yeah, let's do this now instead of 3 weeks ago.
I like that. Because 3 weeks ago, like, let me lay this out for you, because I'm going to make a statement of what I think that they are. But with all these things considered, you had three bad Alek Manoah games, mm-hmm. two better ones. Berríos had two bad games to start a season. Bassitt had the worst ever debut of a pitcher for a new team ever in the history of sports. Kikuchi's 4-0. Surprise. I mean, we love the guy, and I think we've all rallied around behind him, and he had a great spring training, but the question mark was, how sustainable is that? And Gausman had that one terrible game, but he has mostly been pretty damn good. So with all those things considered, I think the Toronto Blue Jays have a top three rotation in baseball right now, league-wide. And I got you some numbers to back that up.
Okay.
So right now, and just for reference, I did this before the games ended last night, so there might be, you know, there might be a little bit of refreshing that needs to happen in the stats, but nonetheless, by yesterday at 6 p.m., this was accurate. Toronto Blue Jays starters have the most innings pitched MLB-wide this season. So they have 141.2 innings pitched. Right behind them, Minnesota and Milwaukee, not far off, like one or two innings off, but they've pitched the most innings in the MLB this season. That was certainly a point of emphasis, is these guys need to go longer into games. If the bullpen isn't a point of strength or is a question mark still, to have your pitchers, your starting rotation going deep into games certainly helps this team.
Just to interrupt you for a second, that remains accurate. 141 innings after the Kikuchi start yesterday.
Perfect. They have, as starter rotation, the second most wins collectively in the league with 12. Tampa Bay Rays, and you're going to hear their name a lot in these stats, have 15, but I'm going to give you a reason why that's kind of fraudulent.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota, New York, and Pittsburgh all have 11, so right behind the Blue Jays. So Blue Jays second, Tampa first, and then there's three teams right behind them in third. The starters are tied for second most league-wide in strikeouts behind Tampa Bay Rays, or sorry, behind the Twins, and they're tied with the Rays. So Twins with 157 strikeouts, Blue Jays with 141, and the Rays are tied with them. So second most in the league. And then finally, their top five in opponents' batting average. So it's a pretty important stat. 232 behind the Cubs, which I don't think is sustainable, even though I said they'd be a fun team to watch this year. And the following teams, Rays, Twins, Yankees. So living on the East Coast is very fun. Top five in opponents' batting average. So all those things considered, plus the fact that the Blue Jays have had at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bad games from their starters, and you're already in the top 1, 2, 3 in stats league-wide, is pretty good. The Twins and the Rays being maybe 1 and 2 in this conversation, you got to just keep in mind the Rays have played some bad teams. We talked about this before, and they've had come out with a pretty damn good start to their season. They're like way up in the standings. You're already chasing and you're a month into the season, but they've got Rasmussen, McClanahan, and Springs is now hurt, but they have a, like, on paper too, those guys are a really great starting rotation. But I will just say the strength of schedule has helped a little bit with that.
Was that your caveat with Tampa?
A little bit, yeah. Because
another caveat is, well, you talk about innings pitched. They only have 118 innings pitched from their starting staff.
So their numbers are lower.
And that's because they employ starters and closers, and they have bullpen games. They don't have that even full rotation.
Yeah.
It's not even balanced. It's just that they kind of have four starters. Mm-hmm. And if we're talking about starting rotations, we're talking about five guys that are going out there every single night. They're a little bit more patchwork 20% of the time. And I think that if you're talking about who's got the best rotation, having a full rotation should factor in a little bit.
So they've played the Tigers, the Nationals, Oakland, Boston, the Jays, which we handed them their first series loss, Reds, White Sox, and now they're in Houston. So their strength of schedule was lesser than what the Blue Jays and the Twins, who's up there in my 1-2-3 ranking, have played. They've played a mix of bad teams and good teams. Kansas, Houston, New York, Boston, New York. That's the Twins. So the Blue Jays having a top three rotation in baseball in 1 month of the sample size of the season, I think, is pretty impressive. And specifically because they've had some really bad outings, which if you erased those, we'd have completely different numbers.
Definitely. If you look at the last 2 weeks, maybe it's definitely been the best because they've had exclusively great starts. So who was your top three? Was it Tampa, Minnesota,
yes,
Toronto?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Toronto is starting pitching staff. Has it? War of two. Tampa Bay's 3.6. There's three teams with a war of three with their starting rotation. Minnesota also one of them. Mm-hmm. What about the Houston Astros?
Yeah. I don't like to talk about them.
You don't like to talk about the Houston Astros? Like, yeah, I mean,
but listen to where these teams play, too. Like, it's like I just mentioned the Rays, Twins, Yankees, and Jays all in this mess of the AL.
Yeah, and it's so early, and there's so many different ways to evaluate it, right? But, like, if I think about where the Blue Jays land or where I expect them to land, I do think they should have a top 10 starting rotation in baseball.
I think it should be top five.
I think it should be at least top five in the American League. Mm-hmm. And, again, I don't know, cost per inning pitched and starting, whatever.
See,
that
I'm trying
is.
To, like, take that away from how I'm evaluating this.
But I think it's important.
But it certainly definitely, like, shades your opinion on it, because if they have the cheapest payroll in sports and they're doing this, it's like stunning, right? But having a lot of money tied up in these guys, it's like when you look at the core four, right? It's the exact same thing. These guys should be putting up dynamite performances because they cost as much money. Like it's hard to eliminate that from your thoughts.
And it's not, honestly, it's not really predictive how much money it is predictive, but it isn't, because the Blue Jays play a different game than most teams. I mean, when you only have one homegrown, when four of them have been acquired through either free agency or trade, and you've spent premium dollar on all of them. I mean, they spend premium on a fifth starter. They spend premium on a fourth starter. They spend maybe a little less than premium on their ace, if you want to call it Kevin Gausman. Of course, that balances with Alek Manoah. And Chris Bassitt made a lot of money. And I think the trend is, okay, there was a reason a team gave up on 80% of the starters to a certain extent. I mean, Kevin Gausman left because he could get more money elsewhere, I suppose. But Bassitt left probably because the money wasn't there where he originally played. Same thing with Kikuchi. And Berríos got traded, but was there a reason why Minnesota traded Jose Berríos? Anyway, they paid premium for a lot of their guys, and that there's an expectation there that they're going to perform.
Yeah.
However, there's a lot of risk associated with that. There's risk associated with tying up a lot of money in starting pitching, because if there is a problem, if there is a crack in the foundation, if Berríos is a pumpkin, if Kikuchi is a complete waste of money, and we've had those thoughts and had to really deal with those realities, then it all can fall apart, because you're not like Alek Manoah. If Alek Manoah didn't pan out, he makes under $1 million, whatever, next man up. It's not a big issue, right? So I think there's a lot of risk associated with what the Blue Jays done, but there's also should be the expectation that they're a high-performing group. I just think there's less of a safety net. If Tampa loses Jeffrey Springs for the season, which they have, they're going to be okay because they've got someone else coming up. So I think they're just playing more of a dangerous game, but if everything goes right and everything's going right now, the Blue Jays are in a good spot because they have identified talent, spent to get that talent, and now they get to put them out on the field every day.
And I certainly hope that this ages well. I don't think that you're going to continue to be forever dynamite. This last 8-game stretch has been why these numbers look the way they do, right? They've been absolutely, perfect is a tough word, but they've been as great as you probably hoped. and have done what they need to do to put the Blue Jays in a good spot right now. So things change, things taper out a little bit. There's ebbs and flows in this season, but April being just about to wrap up, Blue Jays have a series this weekend. We'll be back on Monday, which is then May. Take a look at how April panned out. I think it's a pretty good spot to be in the top three, top five rotation in baseball, and having most of that here in the American League is also a point of emphasis, like where I'm not watching so much on the West Coast, but all of these numbers, it's like, was I looking at a league-wide? Like, I kept thinking, is this just showing me like American League numbers? But that's where we're at. Off day today for the Blue Jays, which is good because we won't have any split-screen viewing unless you want to watch the NFL draft, which is tough timing for that tonight. Mm-hmm. We might have some futures bets for that, possibly, in the Waking Reagan.
We'll see that up.
So no Blue Jays tonight, and as I said, Seattle Mariners in town. We remember that team quite fondly from the last time that they were around.
And speaking of starting pitching, we will see Luis Castillo, who's been probably the best pitcher, and I say probably, definitely the best pitcher in the American League so far this year, this weekend. So we're going to see a good staff, whether Robbie Ray's here or not. They are a good staff.
And we've got Manoah starting things off.
We'll have someone to compare it to.
Right? Manoah's on the mound tomorrow, so kicking off the top of the rotation. So three-game series this weekend, then the Boston Red Sox, Jays head to Boston. Will they be sharing a chartered flight with the Toronto Maple Leafs? That is certainly a possibility. Save the climate, be green, eco-friendly Toronto travel team and down there together.
Yeah, we'll throw some fans on there too. Why not? The vibe plan.
Can you imagine you got, like, they obviously this is never going to happen. I'm tongue-in-cheek, but the Blue Jays and the Maple Leafs, oh, let's head down to Boston together. And 10 lucky fans get to ride with us on Air Canada. Head down to Boston. That'd be like the
they used
coolest
to do a
thing
fan
ever.
Flight. I don't know which
with the players. No,
no, no, no, no.
Oh, just like a fan
remember,
flight.
Like Will Liu was on a plane. Like
no, I don't remember.
I'm
that.
Pretty sure they flew Will down somewhere.
Oh hell yeah!
I don't know which airline it was, but
okay, well,
not that we should mention them anyway.
True. Nonetheless, all right.
Pretty sure Dangle went on one too.
I'm sure he probably helped build one. This empire.
Yeah.
All right.
I thought you might build the plane. No, I don't know if you did that.
It's dangerous. All right, Leafs game five tonight. Of course, we are teeing it up at 590, 590. We want to get your thoughts and feelings on what you're doing to get the vibe right for tonight.
How are you going to make sure you're not the reason why they lost?
We'll find out if you are.
Because if you disrupt that routine, it could have major, major impact.
Yikes. We have a decision on the Michael Bunting situation, folks. He will not be in the lineup for game five. If you chose that, you are the lucky winners because this could have went either way. The coin flip. Sheldon Keefe decided to go with the tougher decision was to not put Michael Bunting in the lineup. He came out and did that yesterday. He said he will play down the road, but not tomorrow.
So the only thing that can challenge the Anthony Bass content production thing is the Michael Bunting decision, because there are a lot of think pieces on whether Michael Bunting should be playing in game five or not. And we've said our opinion, so we can kind of, you know, we can move on to the actual decision made. But I think one thing is important, it's important to say, is that a lot of it is being framed like, oh, they chose Matthew Nyes over Michael Bunting.
It's different decisions.
No, they did not.
They're not together.
They did not choose Matthew Nyes over Michael Bunting. They chose either Zach Aston-Reese, who played 7 minutes last game, or Sam Lafferty, who played 8.5 minutes last game over Michael Bunting. Because Matthew Nyes has earned his spot. If you want to say that Michael Bunting definitely top 12 forward, which he is, Matthew Nyes is definitely top 12 forward. A top six offensive player, top seven for sure, offensive contributor on this team. And of course, he's only played in, what, six total games at the NHL level? So I think the framing is a little wrong. It's like, why they chose Matthew Nyes over... No. That is not what happened here. Matthew Nyes earned his spot. The door opened because Michael Bunting went out. But Michael Bunting was overlooked for fourth line guys. So that's the area where you can quibble with it.
So we have a clip from Sheldon Keefe on the decision to sit Bunting. He says, I'm sure that this is one of the toughest decisions that he's probably had to make so far, this playoff series, maybe because there's a lot of eyes and a lot of speculation and a lot of reasoning for both. We laid out the pros and the cons. Here is Sheldon Keefe in front of the media yesterday on his decision to not put Michael Bunting in for game five.
We're just comfortable with the group that's been working here and won three games in a row. So obviously... you know, his situation opened the door for someone like Matthew Nyes to come in, and he did a terrific job for us. And the chemistry of the rest of the group just makes it, you know, it's not an easy decision because Bunce has played really good hockey for us and has been an important guy for our team. But really the message was that he will get back in. It's just not going to be tomorrow.
There it is. So the message is he will get back in, but it won't be tomorrow. So if the series ends tonight, that would be next round. But if it doesn't end tonight, I wonder, we'll have this conversation, I'm sure. Will he play game six? Anyway, we don't need to get into that now. But he, you know, he does tie Matthew Nyes into the conversation. Doesn't need to, but I think it's because everyone else has been tying Matthew Nyes into the conversation. He came out the day before and said that Matthew Nyes wasn't coming out of the lineup. So I see why we're bringing up Matthew Nyes versus Michael Bunting, but it isn't the case.
He did that for a reason, because it kind of sucks if you're Matthew Nyes, who did, I don't know how it was laid out yesterday, like who went up to the scrum first, but if you're watching the Maple Leafs on YouTube, which I did, it was Bunting, and then it was Nyes. And it's not really fair for Matthew Nyes, if he had to do it, to go into the scrum that Bunting had just exited to talk about how he's taking a spot. You know what I mean?
Like, it does look like it's
that's
like...
why Sheldon Keefe got in front of it. And we should have known when he said Nyes is not coming out that the decision was probably going to be a negative one for Bunting, because he wanted to make it known that it's not Nyes over Bunting. It's the decision is we don't want Bunting in the lineup for game five.
I just want to play one more clip on Michael Bunting, because it was the first time we did get to hear from him in front of the media after serving a suspension. He said all the right things. He obviously would like to be in the lineup. Nonetheless, he isn't. Here's Bunting. I'm just wanting to play, but he's going to be able to face adversity, which is to have to sit this one out.
Listen, I want to play. I want to play. I want to be in the lineup. And that's what I intend to doing in the future here. I want to be impactful. I want to play my game and do things that has helped our team make the playoffs. So that's what I plan on doing. And there's a little adversity for me here, but you know what? I've gone through adversity my whole life, and I made it here. So this is just another day for me.
I didn't really get much from, like, I don't have any, like, hot takes from Michael Bunting other than...
That's step one in a several-step process for Michael Bunting. Say the right things, but doing the right things, that's another thing, and we got to see that when and if he gets back in the lineup.
So one question I have that I'm going to ask when we talk to Luke Fox at 7 a.m. is, I wonder if he got any indication that this was completely a vibes, team rolling, keep the same lineup, three games in a row, three wins in a row, or if there was 10% of continued, like, disciplinary action for Michael Bunting. I think it's an interesting vibe just to see. Was it the decision made because of the team, or was the decision made because it's like, hey, we're going to make you just sit one more out because we're not ready to just throw you back in the lineup?
There's got to be something else other than vibes, because I don't think Sheldon Keefe runs exclusively on vibes or superstition. Like, I just don't feel like he's that type of guy.
So you think that maybe there was a reason that
I don't think it's discipline. I think it's a trust thing. I think it's, can we avoid having you get targeted, chased around, bullied to a certain extent, and then you making a bad decision maybe? Like, I think that, I said it yesterday, it's a variable. And if you're up 3-1 at home and you just played so well last time at home, and you have last change, and you have the benefit of the quality matchups that you used to your advantage last time, do you just want to avoid the variable changing what was? I think it ultimately comes down to that. I'd be pretty surprised if he wasn't in for game six, if there is one, in Tampa, because you have a little less control.
And at the point...
You didn't play well in Tampa.
And also something obviously hindered you from winning, closing out a series. So is there a missing link? Is there a piece? Is there some sort of variable that you actually need to control? And that might be Michael Bunting.
There's an excuse there, not that you need it, though, to put Bunting in. But if Zach Aston-Reese has a tough night, it's like, we're going to put Bunting in. That doesn't look great on Sheldon Keefe, to be honest. It looks reactionary, and it looks like, you know, he didn't want to make a decision. But again, I think it's, if I'm Keefe, I'm hoping that I can just put him in a lineup game one against the Boston Bruins, and then we just kind of put all this aside.
100%. It's like the free pass that he got to put Matthew Nyes in. This is the free pass to be like, hey, you close the series up and we start fresh with a completely different look at the Boston Bruins. So no Michael Bunting. Nyes has been moved to the top six. So as one prospers, it isn't again Matthew Nyes skyrocketing up Leafs fandom's power rankings.
Speaking of media, you notice who did media yesterday?
Not Samsonov.
But maybe a push in the a nudge being like, hey, can we get Samsonov in front of Mike soon? A Hail Mary move from John Cooper.
Yeah, so what do you think of this?
I don't know if he was instructing Andrei Vasilevskiy to do it, but Andrei Vasilevskiy famously does not do media. The Leafs have famously picked up on that and chosen that as their excuse to not expose Ilya Samsonov to the media. So, of course, Andrei Vasilevskiy does some media, and you cannot tell me that is not a game that John Cooper's playing right now. He wants to have that brought up in the other locker room, in other scrums where it's like, okay, we've heard from Andrei Vasilevskiy with no cameras, by the way.
So it wasn't on camera, yeah.
With no cameras, but did speak and did have some quotes. But does that mean the ask can be put in for Samsonov again? And can we have that be even the smallest modicum of distraction on the other side?
So the viral, or like the only thing that I really saw from Vasilevskiy, as it wasn't on camera, so you're just looking for quotes. Quote, Vasilevskiy on what he can do to fight through the Leaf screens better. Quote, by myself, like, beep, x-ray glasses.
It's probably why he doesn't talk much.
Yeah, a little fiery there. So he thinks he needs to buy x-ray glasses to be able to see through the Toronto Maple Leaf screen. So, I mean, they're doing a good job.
And it's kind of like there was a little like, hey, we scored enough goals from John Cooper the previous night. Mm-hmm. And then Vasilevskiy coming back saying, well, if you want me to stop the puck, I need to be able to see through bodies.
Anyway, so, I don't know what the vibe is in that locker room, but it was certainly like a chess move from John Cooper to put him out there and say, hey, well, go in front of the media, Vazzy, see what you got.
And the on-camera context is important because, you know, you read stuff all the time. Right. It's just like, well, that's a quote. And then you, like John Cooper yesterday talked about Lalonde.
We have that quote. Do you want to play that?
Sure.
All right, so
because
yeah.
It looks bad when you read it on Twitter, yes. And we're going to hear it, and it doesn't sound all that adversarial.
We played the Lalonde clips yesterday about what he had to say on our Sportsnet broadcast, and then that clip went viral, and then John Cooper was asked about his comments yesterday, and these were his words, and you can hear them and not read them.
Listen, Sportsnet is paying him well to go.
Big shout out.
Give an opinion, so he's got to make something up of all that kind of stuff. He does. It's like I said, we're playing, so we can't watch what's going on in the games. And listen, he's there because he was assistant coach on this team, so he's trying to offer insight and trying to give fans something. And so he should be doing that. He's just going to make sure it's accurate what he's saying.
You're saying a little bit too much inside information he's given out?
Well, it's got to be accurate before you say it. That's my only thing.
It's got to be accurate. Makes 2 points to say that he needs to be accurate with mm-hmm. his takes.
I mean,
and his thoughts.
I guess he didn't like shy away, but he's smiling and he's kind of like nervously. Like, it's not like when I read it first, I was like, damn, he's going after him. But I don't know. Didn't feel that way.
Yeah, it wasn't like as contentious as it sounded, but I wonder what our buddy Lalonde's going to say tonight on the panel.
All of a sudden, it's must-watch TV. I love it.
These guys going head-to-head against each other. He's going to spill some more secrets tonight. You better be prepping them up.
Mm-hmm. It's Vasi versus Sammy, Leafs Lightning, Cooper and Sportsnet.
It's good for us, big viewers. All right, so keys to tonight, Justin, because we talked about this keys to the series. I don't know how much they've changed game per game, but this is a must-win. One-game sample size. It's like you win. You win and you're done. You win and the city erupts. You exercise a demon. You do something that many people thought wasn't going to be the case. You've been able to exploit some weaknesses on the Tampa Bay Lightning, and you have the opportunity in the palm of your hands. So what are the keys tonight?
I've got five. You want me to run them down?
Yeah, give me a couple.
Okay. My number one key. You want me to start with the most important?
I think that makes sense.
Okay, number one, just be unconscious. Like, just play. Don't think about everything. Don't think about what it'll be like winning. Don't think about what it'll be like losing. Just play hockey. And I think that's been really the key to everything. And I think that's one of the things that Ryan O'Reilly has helped instill, because, you know, you get all these like romanticized, like, you know, speeches and mindsets and how he's helped and how his success has, you know, rubbed off on teammates, like all this stuff. I get it, but it's important. And it is important that they do it rather than talk about how someone else instilled it. if you can be unconscious, if you can just live in the moment, just play hockey, do the thing you've done forever, you're going to have good results. This team gets into trouble when it starts thinking about what it needs to do, what might happen if they don't do this. Just play the game hard and well, and things should work out in your favor.
I think that one's like, it's key, but it is probably one of the hardest things that you're going to lay out, because the moment is so big and they know that, and it's bigger for, I don't think any other team in the NHL this season right now, in this postseason, has a bigger game than the Maple Leafs do tonight, right? Like, think about it. Does any other team have the pressure, the expectations, the history that the Maple Leafs have in the last 15 years than tonight's game? Toronto Maple Leafs at home, opportunity to close out a series after not being able to do that for a very long time. So yeah, play unconscious. Don't let the moment be too big. That will be the test of like the makeup of this team, the DNA of this team, because you can live in that moment and you can find a way to embrace it. And like, if the Maple Leafs score first, which is one of my keys, like just get out there and have that incredible 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do that, then you're riding that energy that arena, that city, like across the country is going to be feeling that vibe. But if you let the moment be too big, and it's so much easier said than done, because this is, they know this. They talked about it in the media, like, we have the opportunity. Like, this could mean so much. It's going to be tough to shut that out.
Yeah, I think that early goal will help you play free. But I think you have to capture that at some point. And playing free might have been the case when they're chasing the game late in game four, because, okay, this is, you know, we already lost. So let's just go out there and try and score a goal and see what could happen. Like, if they can find that mindset where they can just play with the benefit of having a little bit more control over matchups and all that stuff, that's great.
But don't wait till the third period with 10 minutes left to play.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, you can't give 10 good minutes and expect to win hockey games here. Couple things that are, you know, the more simplified approach, Mike Babcock style, maybe. I'd like to see a little dump and chase. So we've been talking
that's
about.
Funny. That's your second most important point.
Yeah, I would like to see it. I would like to see it. I mean, like, we could just talk about things that are not, like, you know, play harder, start on time. But what we've seen in this series is the Tampa Bay Lightning dominate the neutral zone. And we've also seen a beat up Tampa Bay Lightning blue line. So if you can't get through the neutral zone, if you can't get those free passes, why not dump it in, get some zone time, and actually punish some Lightning defenders a little bit more?
You want to see some cycles.
I think some simple, and what happened, and another key is traffic. I mean, we talked about Derek Lalonde. We talked about Andrei Vasilevskiy. These are the staples of teams that simplify things. Dump it in, gain possession of the puck, traffic in front, score nasty goals. Like, that's kind of the simplified approach that we need to see and that we haven't seen from the Maple Leafs. Like, if we want to go full caveman, that is sometimes how you win playoff games, is to do things that are not pretty, that are not aesthetic. And too often, I think, in this series, we're just seeing everything get shut down because the Maple Leafs are having trouble entering the zone. So if you want to just get into the offensive zone, play in there a little bit, maybe a dump and chase every now and then to try and actually initiate a cycle and get to those dirty areas would help.
Beautiful hockey to watch.
I'm just saying, it's important.
I know it's not glamorous. I see your point. I see your perspective on it. Dump and chase being the second most important thing.
Just for the record, it was my fifth.
Oh.
It kind of just worked with the way the discussion
was
going.
I thought, wow, you really want to sit up there in the press box and watch some dump and chase hockey.
I do not care how it looks.
A win's a win.
I want to talk about round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs for the first time in 19 years.
I would love that. All right, what else do you have?
Staying out of the penalty box.
Yeah, but
I mean, that's an obvious
vital.
One. It's an obvious one.
It's untenable, really.
Five power play goals in the series for Tampa Bay. It feels like it's more. The Maple Leafs do have one more than Tampa Bay in the series, which is
shocking.
Kind of shocking, because I mean, you talked about how bad it's looked. And they've scored two power play goals in three of the four games. But Tampa's power play has looked more dangerous. And frankly, they're terrifying. So stay out of the penalty box. And then finally, liberate John Tavares. The five players he saw the most ice against in game two for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Zach Bogosian, Hayden Fleury, where art thou? Patrick Maroon, Ross Colton, Nick Paul. In game four, the five that he saw the most: Nikita Kucherov, Braden Point, Steven Stamkos, Victor Hedman, Darren Radish.
A little bit of difference.
So now that you have some control, and I'm saying, hey, play free, but also get John Tavares out there when he can actually play free. And he, I don't think he can play free against top competition for the Tampa Bay Lightning. He can eat up lesser competition, as we've seen with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I think it's very, very important that at a line that has John Tavares, William Nylander, Matthew Nyes, to get them out in advantageous positions, leave the dirty work to Ryan O'Reilly, leave the head-to-head star-on-star matchups to Austin Matthews, and hope you can get something from that second line because you finally, and just for one night, unless there's a game seven, have control of those matchups again.
I would say the Leafs practice lines are Tavares, Marner, and Nyes.
Sorry. Yes.
Okay, just Marner. Just a second. Yep. Okay. I think for me, more than it is about John Tavares, it is about Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner being the best players on the ice every single time they step on the ice. We need a core
and
four
now split
night.
Across two lines.
And we need a core four night where we look back, and this is like a legacy defining moment for these two guys. Because we saw Austin Matthews turn it on in the final 10 minutes of the third period and then in overtime, and we saw some spark from the core four. If this game isn't riddled with core four moments, and if they're not coming to the podium after the game and we're circling Austin Matthews in the headline of the story, I would be surprised if we're going to have another Kerfoot OT winner or Morgan Riley dominant night. I would love that. But at some point, the stars need to be the stars, right? It's been very fun to cover a series where you have a lot of like unsung heroes and you see a lot of growth from players that you didn't have much expectation for. But tonight, wrap up a series and be the best players on the ice, because that is what you're going to need to do in round two. You're playing the Boston Bruins. If you make it there, it has to be.
That is what you got to do if you want to have a different summer. If you
exactly.
Because even whatever happens against Boston, if they get there, you had a different summer mm-hmm. if you win this one. And ultimately, one of these guys, both of these guys, mm-hmm. all four of these guys, however way you want to extend it, can put a stop to the narrative into all this talk and all this noise tonight.
And if someone's going to rise to the occasion, it's got to be them. And I want to see it, and I want to be able to, I think it's going to be cathartic for them and for Leafs Nation, but to see these guys absolutely steamroll the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight, that's going to be huge for however the rest of this postseason goes. It needs to be them.
Don't wait for a Nick Paul moment. Don't wait on Cali Yarncroke. Don't wait on Matthew Nyes. Don't wait on Nola
Achari. And the thing is,
Achari.
It's like, I would be so happy if those things happen, but at some point, it's you got to grab the series and take it like mm-hmm. a Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid moment.
The core four handles the core four narrative.
All right, more to tee up today. We've got a great lineup of guests. Got Luke Fox joining us at 7, followed by Greg Wyshynski. So he's a senior NHL writer at ESPN. We'll do a little bit look around the league. And then Bruce Boudreau. Bruce, there it is, joins us at 8 a.m. We'll tee up game 5. We'll take your picks at 590-590 and your texts all morning long. The A-List on the other side of the break.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Now it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
All right, a real quick baby A-List this morning. A lot of people complain about umps, right? It's a hot topic in social media. Water cooler talk. That umpire. Brutal. Well.
Bring on the robots.
Yeah, exactly. A New Jersey Little League. It's tough. Little League has started a new rule this season. So it's the Deptford Township Little League, requiring spectators that think that they can do a better job than an umpire and argue with the umpire to either take a year suspension or work 3 games of their own, volunteer their time, learn how to be an umpire, and work 3 games. So if you think you're better than an umpire or you think that they suck and it's Little League, first of all, so grow up, you either suspended from attending your child's Little League games or you're going to have to get in there and figure it out yourself and realize how hard it is. First of all, it's Little League. Like, come on, are we really complaining about umpires in Little League? But nonetheless, I think it's hilarious and I hope that some parents get an opportunity to do this.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I think it'd be really hard to call balls and strikes without any experience. Like, really hard.
Yeah. Have you seen those? This is a new thing the MLB has done this year where it's like a GoPro on the ump. It's like ump cam, mm-hmm. or maybe it's new because I'm seeing it more
those
on social media.
Ump cams, referee cams are always like so distorted. Like that, I don't think that's like a real great representation.
I know, but when you,
but
you
if
watch
you, you
it,
could not use that to call balls and strikes.
No, no, but when you're like put yourself in that position, you're watching the ball come at you. It's like I don't even, I blinked and I missed it. First of all, it feels like you're in the Blair Witch Project when you're watching that because it's like the camera's all over the place. Like it kind of mm-hmm. makes you motion sick. But when you're sitting there watching on your laptop, watching this ball coming in at 99 miles per hour from Nate Pearson's hand, I don't know. Like, I couldn't tell you.
I don't even know. I don't know what would be easier. Because Little League, like, they're getting lobbed in there a little bit.
Yeah, it's like underhand when I played softball in high school and I, like, you pitched your own team.
Like, I feel like everything would be a sinker, too. And I'll be at the bottom of the zone because it kind of, like, dies out a little bit if it's going, what, I don't know, 50, 60 miles. I don't know what it's going. 50, 60 miles an hour?
I don't even
but
know.
If Nate Pearson hits the middle of the plate with 99, like, yeah, I think you're going to be able to call it a strike.
But apparently they've seen early results. Like, people are being nicer to the umpires because they don't want to put themselves in the position to have to do it themselves.
Love it. Solutions.
So everyone be nicer to everybody. It's all about good karma. Somebody texted in, minor hockey parents need this in Canada. Probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Get out there, put the stripes on. You little AAA Markham waxers. I think you're better than the refs. Okay, we're taking your text in at 590-590. What is your contribution to tonight's game? You wearing the same jersey? You sitting in the same seat of the couch, ordering the same pizza? You meeting with the same friends? Like, how are you keeping the vibes going? Can the Maple Leafs win four straight? And if so, what is your part? We're taking that at 590-590. We'll read those throughout the show. Luke Fox is going to join us on the other side of the break. It's morning of. What's the vibe from Luke Box. We're going to see him later at the game, but I want to get the tee up here at 7 a.m. on the Fan Morning Show.